G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Proverbs chapter 4. You know, I'm starting to hear on TV them talking about you need to take your flu shot. So I thought it's probably time that we as a church take our flu shot. Hey, and so this morning you're going to receive your flu shot. Now this is going to be painless though, hey. You won't need to be distracted or diverted for some needle to go into you. This is going to be your flu shot. So if you're ready to receive it, you know, because we don't have to have the flu, is that right? We don't have to have any sickness, any infirmity at all. And so this particular month, we're going to do a focus on healing. Sort of each week, we're going to look at it. Now, why do we do that? You know, some people just say, just give me one message and that's enough. No, it's not the content. It's not just hearing that message once that changes you. It's when you're constantly hearing, it renews your mind. The Bible says that faith comes by what? Yeah. And it says by hearing and hearing. It's not just hearing, it's hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. You check it out in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, we got to hear and hear, constantly hear. And as we continue to hear and hear, it renews our thinking. It changes the way we perceive things. And that's the biggest obstacle is our mind gets in the way. It's our spirit. Our spirit is agreeing with God, but our mind gets in the way and our mind says, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't feel any different. And, you know, the doctors have said this and my auntie, she died of the very same thing. So I don't know if, you know, I can't see how God's going to do. Yeah, and your mind can get in the way. And the whole purpose of focusing on something is to allow nothing else to distract you and allow your mind to be renewed. Hey. Turn around to the person next to you and say, I'm going to be brainwashed this week. We're going to wash our brains in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. In the New Living Translation, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. You know, this passage gives us several instructions and promises, you know, like, the you know, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let it depart from your sight. Keep it in the midst of your heart. And they're the instructions. That's kind of our part. And then if we do that, it becomes, the next verse says, it becomes life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That is the natural product of giving attention to the word. The natural product, if you give the word of God your focus, you incline your ear to it. And I want to talk a little bit more about what these things mean. But the natural product of doing those things is it becomes life to those who find it, and health to all their flesh. And the word health literally means medicine. God's word becomes medicine to your flesh. And that's an awesome thing. Learn that now when things are going well. Because every one of us will at times face situations where we cannot change it in our human capacity, where there is no answer. There's no man who can help. I'm not saying you've got to believe for that. It's just inevitable. Life just happens and things can go wrong. And sooner or later, you and I will face circumstances where there is no one on earth who can help. But that doesn't mean it's the end of the story. But we need to learn these principles while things are going good. So when the storm comes, we've built that shelter and we can take shelter in the midst of that storm. Hey, and so learn how this works. See his life flowing and see his medicine flowing in your body as you give attention to the word. And so if you do these things, you will naturally find the product of it becoming life and health. And there's so much I could share about life. You know, this word life is the Greek word zoe, and it means life in the absolute sense. It's resurrection life. It's life that cannot die. And when we tap into the word and we start giving it our attention, we're tapping into that resurrection life to flow in us. And it doesn't just flow in our body. It can flow into every situation in our lives, into our relationships, into our dealings at work, in our dealings in our business. It can flow into everything. It can give us wisdom. It can give us the path that we need to take, hey, regardless of what's happening around us. And so there's tremendous benefit in giving attention to the word. But I want to focus particularly on the issue of healing. Hey, and I think for some Christians, I think every Christian would agree God can heal. The big stickler comes is, will he heal? Yeah, I know God can do anything. Yeah, I know God can heal, and I know he can turn day into night and, you know, night into day, and he can do this and he can do this. I just don't know if he will. And so there's a lack of confidence that can come as a result of not knowing what he will. But, you know, the way we can know what God's will is by reading this. His word is his will. That's what he says. If that's what he says and his word is the truth, then we can bank on that. Hey, now why is it then that so many people seem to believe his word and it doesn't seem to produce fruit in their life? Well, there's a number of reasons, and we may get into some of that as we go on. But I really want to emphasize this, is every one of us have to make a decision at some point of where we're going to put his word. Because for the majority of Christians, what happens is they start putting their experience above the word. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put your experience above the word of God. Well, yeah, I did that. I did what the word says, but it didn't work. So what are you doing? You're elevating your experience above the word of God. Yeah, there was a situation with Joe, and you'll hear the whole story in a couple of weeks' time, but there was a time where we came and we had been standing and trusting God. He'd given us certain scriptures and promises, and we'd been standing on that, and it seemed like nothing had changed, and it had been a number of months. Now, it really came to a crossroad, and what you do at these points of decision can really be the difference between success and failure. If we stopped at that moment and we said, well, what are you doing, God? We've done everything you have said and you've done nothing. We would have lost it. We would have lost that opportunity and joy wouldn't have been here today. But when we came to that crossroad, and I remember I think Joy remembers it really clearly too. It was the 1st of August 2010. And we came to that crossroad. And I remember when we prayed, we just said, God, you are never wrong. You're never wrong. Your word's the truth. And this is what we see your word saying. And this is what we've been standing on. But we must be missing it somewhere. Because you're not wrong and you're not a liar. Show us, God. We need you to show us. Where are we missing it? There's an essence of humility that comes out in that. It's just saying, God, I'm not pointing the finger at you because you're not a deceiver and you're not a liar. Your word's the truth and I've settled that and I'm never changing from that. See, that's when you're elevating the word of God above your experience. Your experience may be saying, nothing's happening, it's not working, you're going to fail, everyone will see. Well, in Joy's case, it wasn't the fact of everyone's going to see that you fail. In Joy's case, it was you're going to fail and you're going to die. But at some point, you have to make that decision and stand on that decision. No, God's word's the truth. And if it's not working in my life, it's not God's fault. I'm missing it somewhere. And God, you're going to help me. You know, God wants to help you. Is that right? He wants to help us. He wants us to be successful. He wants to show us off to the world. So the people begin to look and they go, how is it things work out for you? I remember when I was a chaplain, there was a student that came and saw me one time, and he was a bit of a loudmouth. Hey, I'm still friends with him on Facebook, and he makes me laugh a bit. He's a bit of a party animal, but God's got his hand on him. But I remember he came and saw me this one time. when he was in year 11. Took a few years to kind of build relationship with him, just in the playground at different times we would chat and stuff. And then one day he just came to me and said, can I come and see you? And I go, yeah, no worries. So he made an appointment and came and saw me. And he said, my mum died when I was 3 years old. And he said, the reason I wanted to see you is I wanted to ask you, why did God take my mum? I mean, man, my heart went out to this kid, you know. Can you imagine, you know, I mean, he was 16 years old, but like, imagine at 3 years of age. I mean, he wouldn't remember his mother. If he would have any sort of memory of his mother, it would be only just kind of glimpses, little flashes, if that. And he's struggling with this, and he knows I'm a man of the cloth, and he knows I'm a man of God. I'm the one who's paid to be a Christian at school, and he came to a place where he trusted me enough to want to talk about this, and he just couldn't find an answer for it, or the answers he had didn't satisfy him. And I said, well, you've had some time to think about it. What do you reckon? And he said, everybody tells me that God needed another angel in heaven. And so that's why my mum died, is because God needed another angel. And I said, well, what do you think of that? And he said, I don't know. And I said, mate, I said, if that's true, I said, then it sucks to be you, hey? Because you just happen to be the lucky one that God chose and said, I'm taking your mum because I need an angel. And he goes, yeah, that's right. And I said, God's not like that at all. I said, and the Bible doesn't even say we're going to be angels in heaven anyway. Angels are a completely different class of being to humans. We are spiritual beings and so are they, but they are a different class. And so, you know, and I said, but, you know, I said, this is an important question. And I said, I think it would be good for us to meet and let's wrestle with this. Let's talk about this and let's see if we can get to the bottom of it. And it began a series of meetings that we had right through year 11 and year 12. And we got into all sorts of topics. We talked about that, but we talked about a whole bunch of other sorts of things. And it was wonderful. Hey, we still keep in contact and meet from time to time. But, you know, like, these questions can come up if you lose sight of the Word of God. Well, this kid didn't have access to the Word of God. No one had ever taught him the Word. But, you know, if you take your eyes off the Word, you can start getting stuck in these sorts of questions. But the Word of God has answers for us. Is that right? I remember I was going to a conference one time, and I was actually traveling with a couple of friends of mine, and they were actually Baptist pastors. And somehow or other, we got onto the issue of healing, the topic of healing, and I shared, you know, like, as we were talking, it was obvious they didn't believe. They believed God healed, but they weren't convinced that God healed everyone. And so as we talked, it became quite obvious that I did believe that God healed everyone. God wanted to heal everyone. It was his will to heal everyone. And I remember one of them said, well, you know, how can you believe that it's God's will for everyone to be healed when not everybody's healed? And I remember I said to him, I said, do you believe it's God's will for everyone to be saved? And he said, yeah. And I said, everyone, whoever wants to, can get saved. Is that God's will? I said, how do you know that? And he said, the Word of God says it. And I said, but how can you believe that when not everybody's saved? See, it's no different, is it? Why do we make different rules for healing as we do for salvation? If it's God's will for everyone to be saved, then in the same way we can read the scriptures where it talks about healing, and it's God's will for everyone to be healed. I don't remember a single case of all the multitudes that Jesus healed. There's not one single case that's recorded where Jesus said to them, I'm sorry, it's not my Father's will for you to get it. That's a man-made doctrine. Hey, that is not in the Word of God. Surely, if that was the case, surely there would be one instance that would be recorded where Jesus did that. Maybe he went to lay hands on someone and he stopped and he said, no, God's trying to teach you something, son. You need to have that infirmity. And the guy might have said, I've had it since birth. And he said, but you still haven't learned. Go away and learn. No, you don't see that. It's people that say that. It's not Jesus that said it. And it's not the Word of God that says it. We need to decide, what is our authority? Is it our experience? Is it the experience of others? Or is it the Word of God? Because Jesus said, the Word is the truth. And we can get into all sorts of problems. And that's what, that was what was happening with these Baptist pastors, is they were getting themselves into all sorts of problems just because they were looking at the experiences and the experiences of others. They were saying to me, yeah, but what about this person that I know? What about this person? And I said to them, I remember saying to them, well, you know, I'll stop you right there. I can list 50 more than you can of people who never got healed. But what has that got to do with the will of God? If you invite a friend to come to the service and they don't know Jesus and they walk out of here unsaved, are you going to conclude it wasn't God's will for them to be saved? You're not going to conclude that. What you will conclude is that for some reason they weren't ready to receive it. Is that right? And you know, there's sometimes that's the problem with healing as well. The problem is not in the giver, God. The problem is in the receiver. There's something wrong with our receiver. When Joy and I came to that crossroads on August 1st, 2010, we realized there's something wrong with our receiver. Something is wrong here. We're missing something because we know God's broadcasting, but we're not receiving. You know, if you turn your TV on and you're not getting a picture, you're not going to ring Channel 10 and say, hey, why have you guys stopped broadcasting? No way. There's no way you would do that. You would realize, well, they're broadcasting all the time. Something's wrong with my receiver. You would check your antenna. Is it plugged in? You would check your Foxtel unit. Is that working? You would go through all the different things to try to eliminate what the cause was. You know that Channel 10 and Channel 7 and all these other channels are broadcasting all the time. Well, the same with God. He is constantly broadcasting. And if we're not receiving, there's something wrong with our receiver, not with the broadcaster. Hallelujah. I guess one of the most important things with this issue of healing is you got to know that healing is yours, like Joy knows her handbag is hers. I use that because I know she knows her handbag is hers. I know from many bruises that her handbag belongs to her. There have been times where she has been like having a snooze in the lounge and her handbag is next to her and maybe the keys are in there or I've got to get some money out and I've got to get something from up the street and I don't want to wake her up, so I'll sneak up and I'll go to open her bag because I don't want to disturb her, and just as I'm touching it, just as I'm opening it, she's got her eyes closed and she just goes, what are you doing? She knows her handbag is hers and she hasn't authorized me to touch it. You have to know that healing is yours in the same way. You have to know that that belongs to you. And when something that is not from God starts getting on your body, you get some symptoms, whether it's symptoms in your throat or your head or in some other part of your body, you have to know that healing belongs to you. Some people think it's like an optional extra that God will, okay, it's like a herb or a spice, God will sprinkle it and you might just be lucky in that right spot to get a little bit of that herb. No. God's just pouring it on. But you have to know that it belongs to you. Hey, you know, if you went up like to Taru's car in the car park and you tried to open the door and she's watching you, I'm sure she would challenge you and she'd say, hey, get your hands off there. What are you doing? Because she knows that belongs to her. We have to know that this is ours. It's ours. It's not like we have to beg God for it. It's not like we have to plead for God to do it. God wants to do it. He's already given it to us, but we have to know that it belongs to us. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Have a look at Psalm 18, verse 30. Keep your place in Proverbs 4 because we're going to come back to that in a minute. Psalm 18, verse 30. This scripture is very, very special to me personally because this is the scripture that God gave to me when Joy wasn't well. Psalm 18, verse 30. Give me an oy when you're there. It says, as for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. There are some translations that say, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield to all who find refuge in him. God's way is flawless. God's word is flawless. His ways are perfect. I remember when God first gave this to me, I thought, because I was really seeking him. You know, I could see Joy wasn't getting any better, and she was feeling more and more tired as the days went by. And I was seeking God. God, I need your direction here. And he took me to this scripture, and I knew that he was giving this to me to hold on to. And when I first read it, you know, as for God, his ways are perfect, and the word of the Lord is proven. I thought, so? How rich it's become to me now, you know. I read that every day for weeks upon weeks. And I, you know, for the first week or so, I read it and I'm thinking, God, what are you trying to say here? I know that. I know your ways are perfect. I didn't know. I thought I knew. I thought I knew that his ways were perfect. I thought I knew that his word was flawless, but I didn't know. Because if I did know, I would have been rejoicing. I would have been rejoicing that his ways are perfect and we were following his ways, that his word was flawless and it couldn't fail. Do you realize you can calibrate your life on the word of God? It is far more dependable than your emotions. It's far more reliable than your circumstances. You can calibrate your life on the word of God. You know, human beings are always trying to perfect something, trying to calibrate things and get it exact. Do you know, a number of years ago, they tried to find a definition for 1 second. How do you define 1 second? From now to now. How do you write it down? This is 1 second. They were trying to find a definition. And a number of scientists got together and they said, well, maybe we can divide, like, we know we divide a day up into 24 hours and divide hours into minutes and divide minutes into seconds. So maybe we divide 24 hours by 86,400 and that'll be 1 second. So we'll say it's 1/86,000th of a day. And that actually became the definition of 1 second. 1/86,400th of a day. Until they discovered that the day is actually varied in length. Thanks, man. And so they found out that days varied in length, and so it wasn't a very accurate measurement of 1 second. So they got together again and they tried to find out, how can we define 1 second? That's harder than you think, hey, until you start thinking about it. How do you define it? Well, this is the definition they came up with in 1967. The second is the duration of 9,192,631,770 periods of the radiation corresponding to the transition between the two hyperfine levels of the ground state of cesium-133. It's as simple as that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to somehow calibrate and make sure that we're accurate all the time. And this scripture in Psalm 18, verse 30, just goes one better than that and says, as for God, his ways are perfect and his word is flawless. We won't need to revise his word in 10 years' time. We won't need to update it in 20 years' time or 50 years' time. You know, I've been doing some research because there's a friend of mine who's got involved in Mormonism, and so I've been doing some research into Mormonism. Do you know they keep changing their Bible? This current Book of Mormon is the 3,000th edition. Edition number 3,000. There's been so many changes they've made since it first came out into print. They've had to constantly upgrade it. You know, years ago, you know, one of the editions from about 100 years ago said blacks were second class. They're the ones that sided with Lucifer in the battle against God, and that's why they're black. And that they were second class and stuff until all the blacks were emancipated and were given equal rights. And then the Mormon church had to get together and say, we need to review this. So they're actually reviewing in response to government decisions. You know, God's word never changes, does it? His ways are perfect. His word is flawless. If he says he's your healer, he's your healer. Full stop. He's not going to revise that and say, well, hang on a minute. I said I'm your healer as long as you read the Bible. I said I'll be your healer as long as you come to church at least 5 out of 6 times. I said I'll be your healer. I've been checking your tithing and it hasn't been that good. So I'm sorry, mate. You know, no way. No, it's not dependent on what you and I do. Hey, isn't that awesome? That's just amazing. I mean, just it humbles you to realize the love that he has, that it's unconditional. Anything God asks you and I to do is for our benefit, not for his. And he will continue to look for ways to bless you, whether you obey him or not. That's tremendous blessing in being obedient. Don't be a fool and think, oh, I can just live how I want. No, you're going to hurt yourself if you do that. But you don't obey him in order to get his blessings. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You're already blessed. You don't obey to get blessed. You obey because you believe you are blessed. There's a big difference, eh? Seems like we're splitting hairs, but there's a massive, massive difference. There's a lot of Christians who are trying to work to get God's blessing. You'll never do it. The scripture says it's by the works of the Lord, no one, no flesh shall be made right in his sight. You cannot earn God's blessings. You receive it by grace through faith. And so God's word is perfect. That's the thing that I was trying to get across. Hey, how many, I want you to raise your hands if you believe, how many of you believe that the word of God brings healing? Not a trick question. It's just, yeah, I would agree with that too. How many believe that the word brings prosperity? How many believe that the word can lead us into victory? Every time? Yeah, every time. Hey. How often, and I don't want to show our hands now, but how often do you make a beeline for the word of God? How much time and room do you make for it? Imagine if I had a USB stick and I came with this USB stick and I gave it to you and I said, listen, there's a file on here and this file contains details of a large sum of money that has been reserved for you in escrow. And it's got the details and it also has the details of what you can do to release those funds to come to you. I wonder what you would do. I don't think you just take that USB stick and throw it in the bin. If you really believe that that was true, you would be making room. It wouldn't matter how busy you were. It wouldn't matter what was on your plate. You would be making room to somehow put that USB stick in a computer, open that file, and begin to study this document to see, is this true? What's this saying? And how do I access this? And what do I do? Well, you know, you have in your possession a file, a document that promises you much, much more than just a little bit of wealth. It promises you peace. It promises you joy. It promises you a path that drips with abundance. It promises you a path that he will lead you on that'll get you through any storm, any situation, any opposition. He promises you to lead you and cause you to grow from faith to faith and be changed from glory to glory and win from victory to victory. And how many of us really believe that? It's the believing is in your actions. What do you do about that? Do you really believe it? How often do you look to it? How often do you make room? Or how often do you just say, oh, I'm just too tired. I can't be bothered today. For a lot of people, it's just like, I don't even know where my Bible is at home. I just leave the one in the car for church. You know, you have to consider, do you really believe his way is perfect? Do you really believe his word is flawless? The Bible just sitting in your house is not going to heal you. It's only when you open it and you do what it says that you begin to access it. That document on that USB, if it was true, you could only release those funds if you began to study the document and found out what are the conditions, what are the criteria, what are the things that I need to do to be able to access what this thing is claiming that it has for me. So go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm just going to say a few things and we're going to wrap up. It says there in Proverbs 4 verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my word. That word attention in the Hebrew, it means to prick up the ears. You know, it's like, you know, Joel's got a dog, a mini, what is he, a toy fox terrier or a mini fox terrier? Man, he thinks like he thinks he's this big, eh? He struts around like he can fly and do anything, eh? And he tries to copy the cat. It's so funny, eh? Because the cat will get up onto elevated heights and balance, and so he'll try to get up there. And sometimes he can't, but then when he can, he goes and then axes himself because he just can't balance. And... But, you know, he's got these awesome ears. They look so intimidating, hey? And he can just hear anything. I mean, he can – and his ears just go up. His ears prick up. If there's any slightest of sound, his ears will prick up and they'll start rotating around, trying to focus on where that noise is. This scripture, when it says give attention to my word, it literally means prick up your ears. Listen. Be attentive. You know, sometimes you can read a scripture that you've read many, many times and you can just, it's so easy to just kind of think, oh yeah, I've read this. Guess what? You haven't pricked up your ears. And you've assumed that God can never teach you another thing from it. Yeah, God can use one verse for all of eternity with us, hey, and show us new things every day from it because it's just so filled with revelation. But we need to prick our ears up. We need to give attention. This when it says give attention to my word, it means focus on the word of God. You know, there are a lot of things that will vie for your attention. There's a lot of things that compete for your time, for your focus. And this scripture is saying, no, give the word of God your attention. Give it your focus. Now, those of you who've been on Outbreak have seen this clip, but it's worth repeating. It's called the awareness test. So now the sound's not going to be that great because I forgot that other chord, Phil, but don't worry, I'll play it through here. The sound's not as important as the vision. In the awareness test, you've got to follow, like there's two teams. There's one team in white and one team in black. And you've got to count how many times the white people pass the ball.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
Isn't it amazing, hey? You're thinking, what moonwalking bear? That just sounds like such a random thing. I mean, when the first time you see a clip like that, you think, there's no moonwalking bear until they replay it, hey? The point that I'm trying to make is sometimes we can get so focused on all of the distractions that are around us, we don't notice what God's trying to say. And God is saying, give attention to my word. If you want this to work in your life, give it your attention. Be focused on it. Don't allow other things to distract you from what the word of God He's saying to you. And God has a lot to say about all the different situations that we find ourselves. You know, when you start giving the word of God your attention, you will find you will get less intimidated and less controlled by your circumstances. It's just a natural product, hey. I've noticed this in my own life. Bad things can happen, alarming things can happen, and you're not running around like you used to run around. You're not sort of thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You know, and stuff. None of that's happening. You know, the more you give the word of God your attention, the more stable you become. In Psalm 112, it's a wonderful scripture, and it talks about the person that trusts in the word of God. And one of the things that it says in Psalm 112 is it says, he is not easily moved. He is not shaken. He's not intimidated by bad news. You know, when bad news comes, and it happens to every one of us at different times, you don't want to be someone who's just governed by that news. Oh my goodness, now how can I be happy about anything? I've just received this news. No, you want to be someone who's so rock solid, connected to the Word of God, that you look to that first and foremost. Hey, remember one time this in the previous church that we were at, this guy came up and he wanted prayer and he said, "I want you to pray for me." And I said, "What's up?" And he said, "I've had to get some tests in my body. They're concerned about certain symptoms and things." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So I want you to pray that, because tomorrow I'm going to see the doctor." He said, "Let's pray that the doctor's report is a good one." And I remember saying to him, I said, "You don't need to pray that." And he said, "I don't." And I said, "No, you've already got a report. You've got God's report. And he says, by his wounds, you were healed. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. They may say good, they may say bad. Don't depend on the doctor's report. If we depended on the doctor's report for joy, she would have been dead. You know, don't depend on what the doctor has to say. Depend on what the Word of God has to say. And give that thing your attention." Do I hear an amen? This is good stuff, isn't it? It goes on and it says, "Incline your ear to my sayings." You know, there's so many scriptures that talk about listening and giving and inclining your ear. You know, God talks to all of us on so many occasions. We need to be a people who are constantly developing that hearing ear. The scripture is filled with warning saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, don't be someone who gets so hard of heart that you cannot discern what God is trying to say to you. As a child of God, it's your birthright to hear the voice of God. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." You know, it's your birthright. If you're a child of God, if you belong to Team Jesus, then it's your right to hear his voice, and he's not trying to be silent with you. But you got to develop that. You got to value it. You got to pursue it. You know, God's not going to start, you know, booming out his voice into the atmosphere, but he will speak, hey, and you will develop that. That was one of the things we were talking about yesterday at the prison with these young people. We're saying, develop it. Learn how to recognize his voice while you're in prison, so that when they release you, man, you are not just freed from prison, but you're a step ahead of everyone else because you've learned how to discern his voice. You know, God is talking to us, and there are so many times we get busy and distracted with things and we fail to pick up what he's saying. And it's the difference between success and failure. I was telling the young people yesterday about a true story about a guy called Jack Coe. And Jack, he adopted a young boy, Robert. And so Robert grew up in his household. And when Robert was about 15 or 16 years of age, some of his mates wanted to go to a fair like the Ecker. And so Robert asked his stepdad, and Jack said, "Yeah, you can go. Sure, I'll give you some money. I'll look, do some chores around the house, and I'll give you some money, and you can go and have some spending money." He said, "Cool, that's good." So he went and he did all these chores and came to the end of the day and he came to his stepdad. He said, "Dad, can I have that money?" And he said, "Yeah, sure. Here you go." And just then the car arrived and his mates honked the horn, and Robert turned to his dad and then his dad said, "Wait, you can't go." And Robert said, "But you said I could go." He said, "My friends are waiting." And he said, "I know, I said you could go." He said, "But you can't." And he said, "Why not?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "But you just can't." And he said, "But you said I could go. You promised that I could go." And he said, "Look, son, I know that I did." He said, "I just don't have a good feeling about this." He said, "I'm not going to let you go." And he said, "You're a liar." He said, "You said that I could go." And he said, "Now you're not letting me go." And he was really upset. And anyway, he told his friends and they went off. And kind of Jack really struggled with that. And he was praying about it. And finally, he got a release from the Lord. And he went and he talked to Robert. And he said, "Look." He said, "I don't know why I couldn't let you go." He said, "I just couldn't." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I'll take you myself." He said, "Let's get in the car." He said, "We'll go and go to the fair." And so they got in the car and they were driving. And on the way there, they got into a traffic jam. And when they got closer, it was an accident. And it was this Robert's friends. The car had wrapped around a tree and all three of his friends had died in the accident. His stepdad, heard something from God, and it made the difference between life and death. We need to give attention to his word. The more attention we give to his word, the more attentive we become to his voice, because his voice and his word are one and the same. You'll find that in your, I found that in my own life. The more I attend to his word, the easier it is for me to discern his voice and direction in my life. If you're having trouble discerning the voice of God, it's only because you haven't spent enough time in the word. I'll prove that to you. Have a look at Hebrews 4. When, hands up if you've ever been in a situation where you've just thought, is that God or is that me? Anybody been in that? Yeah. I'm sure if we're all honest, we've all been, is that God or is that me? What's happening there? You are having trouble discerning whether it's your spirit or whether it's your soul. See, the soul is that you part. The spirit is the part of you that's fused with God and in union with Christ. And so when God speaks to you, he speaks through your spirit. When you get your own ideas, that comes through your soul. And when you're having trouble discerning, is that God or me, you don't know whether it's your spirit or your soul. Now look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, for the word of God is living and active. What's living and active? What is it? The word of God. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. When you're having trouble discerning whether that's God or you, you don't know whether that's your soul or your spirit. But this scripture is saying that the word of God goes to the very division. It pierces even to the division of your soul and your spirit. The more time you spend in the Word, the more easily you can yield to the Spirit and recognize God's voice. A person who's constantly confused in recognizing the voice of God is a person who has neglected the Word of God for long periods of time. This is inevitable. This is truth. This is something God showed me years ago, and I've put it to practice in my life, and it works. It's awesome. There is nothing else that can separate your soul and your spirit. We can study the soul and the spirit for academic purposes and separate them, but in reality, your soul and spirit are so closely knit, you cannot separate. But the Word of God can. It goes to the very division of your soul and spirit. We want to be a people who move and walk in divine health and who can minister healing. Is that right? Well, one of the keys in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22 is we need to give it our attention and not be distracted by what's happening around. We need to incline our ear to what he's saying. Boy, I tell you what, you know, Jack Coe and his stepson, Robert, when they saw that accident, they pulled over and they hugged each other and they just cried and they cried and they cried. They cried for the loss of Robert's friends, but they also cried that they were so grateful that his stepdad heard the voice of God. You cannot afford this. Hey, you know, there are a lot of testimonies that came out of 9/11 of people who heard the voice of God. God was speaking to everyone. Those 3,000 people, it's not like God was silent to them. God, you know, because God is life. He wants us to have an abundant life. He was desperately trying to get the attention of every single person on that day. And there were hundreds that heard his voice, but there were several thousand who either ignored it or were so busy they couldn't even perceive it. You know, you can get so busy and so involved in the things of life that you can hear the voice of God and just think, was that thunder? What was that? Isn't that what happened with when Jesus was on the earth? He said, Father, glorify your name. And God spoke in from heaven and said, I have glorified it and will continue to glorify it. And some heard it and others go, what was that? That was thunder. You don't want to get to a stage where you're so deaf, God is speaking with an audible voice and you can't even discern it. Start putting the word of God in the place that it deserves in your life. Start making room. Start saying to your body, I don't care how tired you are. We're doing this because this is life to my flesh. This is medicine to my body. This is what I'm doing. And start putting it into practice in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand up. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to take our flu shot right now. And the way you receive anything with God is you release your faith through the words of your mouth. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And that word saved means we shall be healed, we shall be delivered, we shall be prospered, we shall be protected. So we're going to confess his lordship over our lives right now. Hey, I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to begin to address our body. Just begin to thank God. Hey, Lord, we just bless you. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this precious book that we have. It has the keys of life in it. Hallelujah. And so, Father, right now, by faith, we release your healing virtue to flow in our bodies. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to put your hand on your head. And I want you to repeat after me, in the name of Jesus, I bless my brain. I command all things that are not of God to come out of it. Anything that's not of God, be gone now. Brain, I bless you. You think clearly. Memory, be sharp. Be clear in Jesus' name. I want you to put your hand on your heart. And you speak to your heart. Heart, in the name of Jesus, you are blessed. You will beat in rhythm, you will never miss a beat. In the name of Jesus, I command all heart disease to be gone now, in Jesus' name. I command my arteries to be clear, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bless you. Put your hand on your chest. We're going to pray over our lungs. We're taking our flu shot. So now speak to your lungs. Lungs, in Jesus' name, you be clear of all excessive fluid, of anything that shouldn't be there, in Jesus' name. You open and close without any problem, as you were created to do. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I breathe easily. I breathe freely. And I am free of all infirmity in my lungs. Hallelujah. Now I want you to put your hand on the back of your neck. And that's your point of contact for your spine. And say, spine, in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I command every disc in my vertebrae to be in correct alignment. I command the nerves in my spine to be completely free from being pinched. I command my spine to be strong, to be supple, to work as it was created to work, free from all problems in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to put your hand on your throat. Throat. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I command all infirmity in this throat region to be gone now. In Jesus' name, I command my vocal cords to operate free from all inhibition. In the name of Jesus, put your hand on your nose. Nose, I command you to be open. All the sinus passages, be open. Be free from all blockages. You will work as you were created to work. In Jesus' name. All excessive mucus, settle down. In Jesus' name. I didn't want to cast it out because I didn't want mucus on the floor. Put your hands on your eyes. Eyes, I bless you. You see clearly. You see completely well. You are blessed. The retina is blessed. Free from all problems. I curse all infirmity. I curse all disease. I bless my optic fibers and my optic nerves. I bless the lenses on my eyes, the cornea, the retina, every part of my eye. You be free from all problems in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Put your hands on your ears. Ears, I bless you. You be open and be free to hear as you were made to hear. In Jesus' name, I command any blockages in my ears to be gone now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now give thanks to God. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for healing and health that you provide for us. We are so blessed to walk with you and to be counted as part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I might not have covered maybe an area where you have been struggling. If you would like us to pray with you, we would love to do that. Or you can just simply go home and minister healing to yourself like that.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.